How did Christian communities in the past respond to godless cultures? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is titled Embracing Godly Character, The Christian Community's Response to a Godless Culture. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Embracing Godly Character at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Embracing Godly Character, 1-800-325-3040. The church has long struggled to first acknowledge and then to deal with mental illness. How do we look at it? Do we look at it purely as a product of the fall? Do we look at it purely as a medical or psychological issue? Or is it somewhere in between with a foot in both of those realms? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois on this Monday, Thursday. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be hearing Pastor Todd Peppercorn make the case for a Lutheran view of depression from his 2017 Summer Issues Etc. Making the Case conference presentation here in the first hour on this Thursday afternoon. Then in the second hour, Dr. Peter Scare will join us. We're going to talk with him about apparent contradictions in the Bible around the crucifixion and death of Jesus, the date of Jesus' death, the malefactors who were railing against Christ. Did both of them curse Christ, or did just one of them do it, and other contradictions as well in hour two of Issues Etc.? Pastor Todd Peppercorn is a regular guest. He's pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, author of the book, I Trust When Dark My Road. Let's begin today's show with his presentation from the 2017 Summer Making the Case Conference, Making the Case for a Lutheran View of Depression.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious help, and further us with all of your gifts, that we may ever praise you and receive these gifts which you give to us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. About 11 years ago, I was standing in a pulpit-ish, somewhat like this, on a Good Friday, preparing to give a sermon on the death of our Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of the world. This is not that unusual for Lutheran pastors. We kind of do that Sunday after Sunday. Only this time, while I was doing this sermon on Good Friday, I was contemplating and planning my own death. That is a bit unusual for Lutheran pastors to be doing. Well, maybe not as unusual as we would like. Today, what I'm going to talk to you about is the story of depression and mental illness, and especially the story of how this fits with the gospel and what incredible treasures we have as Lutherans who kind of get two kingdoms, body, soul, and spirit, who understand what it means to suffer, who get the theology of the cross, and to understand what it means to actually let people help us, and kind of how all of these things fit together to deliver God's gifts to the world. So that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about why it is that this is such a rarity in Christianity today. And I hope you will go away with a greater appreciation of what this means for us, and how we as a church body can move forward with caring for those we love. In about 45 minutes, we'll see how it goes. So, my lens for understanding this is clinical depression. But in many ways, what I'm going to talk about really is more about mental illness as a whole. What is mental illness? Well, first of all, it's the boogeyman, right? This is that thing that everyone is afraid is going to afflict them, that they're afraid is strangely contagious somehow, that they don't know exactly what it works, what causes it, how to fix it, but nearly everyone in this room is afflicted by mental illness, either directly or indirectly through those they love, family, friends, and such. Mayo Clinic defines mental illness as a wide range of mental health conditions or disorders that affect mood, thinking, and behavior. Things like depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, addictive behaviors. It covers a huge gambit of things that have to do with afflictions of the mind. When I was diagnosed with clinical depression, I had a Muslim psychiatrist, I had a Lutheran pastor, and I had a Christian counselor who happened to be Lutheran. That is a typical combination of people that might provide healing for a mental illness or depression, maybe even the best scenario. But it kind of gives us a sense that when we talk about healing and mental illness, we're talking about healing of the body, healing of the soul, healing of the mind, and that some of these things directly and desperately need to come from that gift of the gospel. Some of these things come more from, I'll say, first article gifts, gifts of the healing of the body, that God may use all sorts of people to bring this about. And so what I want to talk about next really is, what does it mean to have a traditional, or let's say traditional Christian view of sickness and healing? Well, first of all, we start with sin. Well, really, first of all, we start with creation, right? God created us in His image, the crown of His creation. We are His creatures, and He loves us with an everlasting love. Sin, of course, has a remarkable way of messing that up in more ways than we can even imagine. As St. Paul reminds us, the wages of sin is death, but it is rarely that nice, short, direct, oh, you sinned, boom, you're dead. That process usually takes a little bit longer than that. But what we deal with on an everyday basis as human beings is dying. Sometimes slow, sometimes fast, sometimes obvious, sometimes not so obvious. But that dying, that process, is always the consequence of that sin which we have inherited from Adam and Eve. So here on earth, this side of the last day, we have on the one hand trying to address and get at the cause, the root problem, sin. And at the same time, trying to comfort, console, and heal, and care for the body and mind and soul in addressing those symptoms. If you had a broken leg, this is kind of my favorite example. If you had a broken leg, no one would expect you to run a race. But what if you have a broken mind? Well, that's the problem, isn't it? When it comes to the wages of sin leading to death, we don't always see the depth of, I think the theological term is, of our mess-upedness. We can't get inside of our heads to that degree, and yet every day our dying is more and more obvious. It doesn't matter if you're 6 months old or 60 or 160 or whatever in between. So between now and that last day, we as human beings are constantly looking at that underlying cause that can only be remedied through the forgiveness of sins won and delivered by the gospel. And how do we comfort and care for one another every day as we struggle and fight with this death that is coming along the way. Being sick is not a sin, not necessarily at least. It's the result of sin. It is a consequence of sin, but being sick is not a sin. I want to make that really clear because this is one of the problems that we often face when it comes to mental illnesses. We'll get to this more in a few minutes. But very often in our culture today, you have mental illness is either normalized and regularized so that mental illness becomes the new normal, and anyone who doesn't have whatever the new normal is, they themselves must be abnormal. Or mental illness is only and solely a spiritual problem. And as a result of that, well, take two Bible passages and call me in the morning. And very often as Christians, that's kind of the level at which we're willing to delve into this mess of mental illness. But before we get to these problems, one more thing. Sin and redemption mean that the life of the Christian, whether we're talking about someone with a broken leg, someone with terminal cancer, someone with clinical depression, or whatever the malady may be, our life is lived every day in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. The medicine that we receive from him is the medicine that gives eternal life. The Eucharist, holy baptism, holy absolution, and the medicine that we in our vocations every day give to one another, loving our neighbor, are a part of that ongoing process of comforting, consoling, caring for one another, which God gives us to do every day of our life. In some respects, how do we as Christians love and care for one another with mental illnesses is the exact same question as how do I as a Christian love my neighbor? There isn't really a theological difference between those two questions. It's just that because we're dealing with this hidden place of the broken brain, that we kind of make it way more complex than it needs to be. More on that in a minute.
When we come back, we'll hear more of Pastor Todd Peppercorn's presentation from the 2017 Summer Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, Making the Case for a Lutheran View of Depression. He's going to discuss the twofold challenge to the church regarding mental illness.
What does it mean to live the good life? Lots of money, power, fame, health, beauty? Or does the good life mean something a little different for Christians? In its Lenten issue, the Lutheran Witness looks at elements of the Bible's countercultural vision for good living, including prayer, fasting, piety, and trusting God's word. Goodness, it turns out, is good. Who knew? Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. there's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. on this Monday, Thursday afternoon. We are listening to Pastor Todd Peppercorn, author of the book, I Trust to Endark My Road, Making the Case for a Lutheran View of Depression from the 2017 Summer Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Here he is on the twofold challenge to the church regarding mental illness.
The challenges that face the Christian church today when it comes to mental illness are really twofold. On the one hand, we have what I would call the naturalistic or secular worldview. And this worldview sees there only being a physical, material world. So that's one side. On the other side, you have Michael Horton called it a hyper-supernaturalistic world. I kind of like that. I'll get to that quote later. But that is the notion that there is only the spiritual and that these physical problems aren't really physical problems at all. Almost sounds like Christian Scientists, frankly. And yet, in many ways, these two views, the hypernaturalist and the hyper supernaturalist, are almost the same. In the hypernaturalistic view, religion is kind of our neuroses. Religion is a part of the problem. And if we can kind of erase or at least mitigate or minimize religion into a nice compartment that's kept on the side, you know, maybe an hour on Sunday, maybe, then it's going to be safe and then it won't cause any problems. That was the view of my grandfather, whom I loved dearly, who was a secular psychiatrist for his entire life. For him, all of the problems in the world, all of the wars, all of the violence, all of the death, everything was the result of religion. And it didn't really matter whether you were talking about Islam or Christianity or whatever. Religion was the problem, and only if we could be good secularists and just deal with the physical world, then all of us are magically going to love each other. Yeah. I do think that that view is surprisingly common, maybe not quite so brazen, but is still kind of underlying many people's mindset. On the other hand, in the hyper-supernatural evangelicalism world, we're going to just keep adding these things onto it. It'll be supercalifragilisticexpialidociousism by the end. In this world, mental illness is the result of sinful choices, not the result of sin. I'm not talking about inherited sin, but mental illness is the result of sinful choices. One perfect example of that would be a man named Jay Adams. Jay Adams was the founder of a movement that at the time was called Nuthetic Counseling. Try saying that fast five times. In Nuthetic Counseling, all mental illnesses were considered to be the result of a lack of obedience. And so if you could only learn to obey God a little more, a little better, then any mental illness that you had would magically go away. They renamed it to Biblical Counseling. I think their marketing department probably suggested that was better than Nuthetic. I'm not sure. But Jay Adams and the movement that spawned from him really, in many respects, shaped a generation's worth of pastoral counseling training. In the 1970s, it was very, very popular for pastors to adopt a therapeutic model of pastoral care. And Jay Adams' books were the textbooks in many, many, many seminaries all across the country. Here's one quote from Adams. This is from his book, The Christian Counselor's Manual. There are in the scriptures only three specified sources of personal problems in living: demonic activity, principally possession, personal sin, and organic illness. These three are interrelated. All options are covered under these heads, leaving no room for a fourth, non-organic mental illness. In other words, for Adams, the notion of mental illness was essentially non-existent. Now, I am not a doctor, I am not a chemist, I am not a scientist. I can, however, read. And one of the things that we have learned in the last generation about mental illness, speaking very broadly, is that there are a, again, I think that the technical term is a boatload of physical and physiological and chemical imbalances that are involved with mental illnesses. And that it is almost impossible to trace back what all of those causes are, because cause is a really, really big word when it comes to medical care. Most of the time in medical care, they really try hard to avoid that word cause, because that could get you into legal trouble, among other things. But what we're discovering along the way is that there's just so many more layers of things that we don't know how to measure yet. So as a result, because we're not measuring something, because we're not looking for something, lo and behold, we're not going to find it. Well, you have, I would suggest, a generation or more of pastors that have been trained essentially that mental illness is the result of some sinful behavior. So it shouldn't come as a big surprise to us that the result or the cure for mental illnesses then must be very simple. Sin less. You got that? All of your problems are going to go away if you would just stop sinning. Get on with that, Wilkin. Sheesh. What do we pay you for? Sorry. Just came out. Adams was one of the more articulate in this model, but you will find that there is a whole host of people that still follow this basic process, and you will recognize some of those names: Joyce Meyer, Beth Moore, Joel Osteen, Rick Warren, although Warren has kind of begun to rethink that in recent years. But many, many of the people that shape modern Christianity in America work with this premise that mental illness is simply a lack of obedience. So, on the flip side, going back to our naturalistic friends, the secularists, you have the notion that sickness and death are natural, are more than natural, are normal, are maybe even good. And so in this mindset, when someone is afflicted with a mental illness, the problem isn't figuring out how to alleviate symptoms, provide comfort, provide consolation and care for them and their families. The problem, the way to address it then, is to figure out how to normalize whatever that mental illness or disorder is so that it becomes the new normal. In other words, the goal is to simply avoid actually helping the person at all. This is one of the big problems facing the world of medicine today. And again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to pretend to be able to speak to that directly. But as a sufferer and as one who has seen more than a couple doctors in my life, very often what we have going on is that the doctors and nurses and medical care people desperately want to help people. It's almost like that's what they're there for. These are, by and large, good people in a civil sense that desire to offer comfort and care and consolation, whether they're Christians or not. But there are agendas and other things going on that are above their pay grade, as the former president would say, that are trying to make it so that they can no longer actually try to help the patient, but now have to try and figure out how to make it so that what they're doing is actually normal, whatever the illness may be. That's a way bigger problem than we can fix tonight, that's for sure.
On the other side of the break, we'll hear more about the agendas that hinder proper care for mental illness. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is making the case for a Lutheran view of depression from the 2017 Summer Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
What we need to know about Islam is that it's the world's fastest growing religion and the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel.
Hank Canagraph of the Bible Answer Man talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The current narrative is that if you tell the truth in this regard, well, you'll radicalize Muslims. But that's pure propaganda. What we need to do is wake up to the truth concerning Islam.
You can meet and hear Hank Canagraph making the case against Islam at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Coming this Easter Sunday, sacred music for the Easter season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world. Coming Easter Sunday at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
No gimmicks, no shticks. Just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at gracelutheranracine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
40 years greatly blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-656. 0043.
If your child, grandchild, or godchild is coming home from school for Easter, be sure to tell them about LCMSU. LCMSU connects and supports Lutheran college students with their daily challenges to the faith that they face there on campus. LCMS.org lcmsu. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU, lcms.org/lcmsu. We're listening to Pastor Todd Peppercorn's presentation, Making the Case for a Lutheran View of Depression from the 2017 Summer Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference. Let's pick it up again. Here he is talking further about the agendas that hinder proper care for mental illness.
But I would urge you to pay attention to this. We can see this, for example, one area where you may have noticed this is in the realm of care for the dying and hospice care. All of the pastors who are present, I'm sure, are familiar with hospice care. My guess is that many of you are very familiar with hospice care. They do wonderful work. There are a lot of wonderful, great people that are involved with hospice care. How do we love and care for those who are dying? If there's a more Christian notion than that, I don't know what it is. That's what we do. Not that hospice care is Christian, but there's been a shift in hospice care, at least in the 20-some years that I've been a pastor, that I've seen, where hospice care has moved from actually wanting to see their primary role as comforting and caring for, consoling the family, helping this person as they're dying, to trying to recognize that what's going on is normal and good. And I'm here to tell you that death is not good. I'm pretty sure that Jesus talked about that a few times. So we can start to see this happening in our own lives, in our own families, when it comes to those sort of matters. But this filters all the way back into how do we wrestle with this big, ugly question of mental illness along the way. What is really behind this is, on the one hand, in hyper-evangelicalism, or whatever we were calling, pseudo-hyper-quasi-evangelicalism, I don't know, we'll come up with a term. I have great confidence in your collective creativity here. On the one hand, you have the Christian faith and the healing that results from it being turned into make better decisions, rethink your desires, exercise your will better. That sounds good in Lutheran, doesn't it? Develop better spiritual habits. You kind of turn Christianity into Weight Watchers. And that picture, and I know Weight Watchers very well too, believe me. You turn that picture into Christianity is simply another way of having behavior modification of some sort or another, and very little to do with how do I actually love this person who is put before me. And then on the other hand, with hypernaturalism, you have the tie and connection between the body, the mind, and the soul is divorced and ripped apart. So that the way that God has created us, fearfully and wonderfully made, is lost, clouded, obscured, messed up. So that God's good creation is hardly even recognizable along the way. There were two things when I was on disability, kind of in the darkest part of my road. Two things that really grabbed me at the time. Number one was the notion that if I take this little pill, this little pill is going to be a sign that I no longer trust God. Because that's kind of what I had been taught to believe. You know, if I take this little pill, it's just Prozac. It's just Wellbutrin, it's just Effexor, whatever name you want to put to it. If I take this pill and then I assume that letting this pill do its work, then that must mean that I'm not going to trust God to heal me. That's kind of what I had grown up believing. And I'm going to guess that many of you have kind of struggled with that same thought too. And on the other hand, I struggled with that even darker question of faith. That is, how can I actually be a Christian and have these thoughts and have these feelings of self-harm and have these thoughts of, well, you know, maybe my family would actually be better if I were dead. And so these two things pulled against me every day. And I'm going to suggest that everyone who struggles with mental illness has not only those, but many more that are all mixed up into this soup of living and struggling here in America today. So that's the challenge, as I would present it to you. Is this is the world in which we live, in which we love our neighbors, in which we care for those whom we love, whether you're talking about a husband or wife, son or daughter, sister, brother, friend, whomever it is. I would like to suggest to you that there are four specific ways that we as Lutheran Christians have something to contribute to this conversation going on. And these conversations are going on, whether we're a part of them or not. Number one is the simplest and most obvious. Give the gospel to those who have been broken. Duh. Again, another deep theological term there. The gospel of the forgiveness of sins and new life that only comes through Jesus Christ, the righteous one. The gospel is always the gift that is the cure, whatever the malady is. That doesn't mean that if I say to someone, I forgive your sins, they're going to get up and walk because their leg is no longer broken. But that does mean that I, as a Christian, recognize the underlying cause for our problems every day of our lives is our sin. And whether we're talking about someone who has to try and spend an hour to decide whether to brush their teeth, depression, or whether they are making 1,000 brush their teeth decisions in a second, bipolar disorder, or they're having a conversation, so to speak, with somebody else in their head that's telling them not to brush their teeth, schizophrenia, or whatever the malady is, the gospel of the forgiveness of sins is always the heart and soul of who we are as God's people. That doesn't get old. And what's more, and this is the really amazing part about the gospel, one of the amazing parts, the gospel will do its work even if the person receiving it doesn't know it, or doesn't feel it, or doesn't show it. I can remember as a pastor many times going to see shut-ins and those who are those who maybe even have become non-communicative, and going and praying with them, singing with them, doing these things that we do as Christians, and then all of a sudden out of the blue, I'll be singing, "Behold a Host Arrayed in White," with Irma Nurger, who was, I think, I don't know, 198? I don't know. She was really old. And I had literally never had a conversation with her. And all of a sudden, she starts singing it with me in Norwegian, which I was not doing. But lo and behold, it's kind of remarkable what the gospel can do. Be faithful. Give it. God will do what he is going to do with it, because that's what he does.
We're hearing from Pastor Todd Peppercorn at the 2017 Summer Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, Making the Case for a Lutheran View of Depression. He's author of the book, I Trust When Dark My Road. When we come back, the church's response to the suffering of the mentally ill.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Are you a high schooler who enjoys theology? Do you know a high schooler who would make a good pastor or deaconess? Every summer, Concordia Theological Seminary offers programs for vocational discernment and theological education for high school students. Check out Christ Academy and Phoebe Academy this summer, June 17th through the 30th. Registrations open now. Email us at christacademy@ctsfw.edu or register online. Christ Academy at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, June 17th through the 30th.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at AdCruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday, Thursday afternoon, we're listening to Pastor Todd Peppercorn make the case for a Lutheran view of depression from the 2017 Summer Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. So let's go back to his presentation. He's going to talk about the church's response to the suffering of the mentally ill.
A part of this also means not minimizing the symptoms or the suffering that this person is enduring. In other words, whomever I am loving and caring for, I am not them. Furthermore, I'm not Jesus, and I don't know the depth of their suffering and sorrow and trials. I can't. I'm not that person. And so one of the things we as Christians can be free to do is to not be God, which is really liberating, let me tell you. And actually let this person suffer. I don't mean that in a crass way, but let their suffering be real and not pretend it isn't. And recognize that this is going on, and yes, that it stinks, and that yes, this is what Jesus came to heal. And even if that healing doesn't come about until the last great day, it will, because Jesus is risen from the dead. It's kind of a big deal. Number two, reach out to those in need and point them to the right help for the malady that they face. Let me say that again so that it'll sink. Reach out to those in need and point them to the right help for the malady they face. We've talked about this underlying cause of sin and how the gospel is that remedy. But when someone comes to me with a broken leg, I am not simply and only going to say to them, did you know Jesus loves you and God forgives your sins? I'm going to get them to a doctor. Because doctors are the ones that do that kind of stuff. That's also above my pay grade. When someone is sick or in need, we do not have to act like we can do everything. Because I can't. And that may mean a psychiatrist. That may mean a psychologist or a counselor. That may mean their general practitioner. Whomever it is, let people serve in the vocation where God has put them. Because that's how God does his work, through those people. and we can be free to not have to do everything and be everything. It's a really big deal. Furthermore, we as Christians can recognize this incredible, wonderful gift of body, mind, and soul that God has given to each one of us. And that we are complex organisms. And that as complex organisms, we're not going to know how all of these things fit together and not pretend to know. But that doesn't prevent me from actually loving my neighbor. I don't have to understand everything in order to love my neighbor. I can simply look at what the need is and recognize where we're at and what I can do in that place. Maybe what I can do in that place is help them with their kids or give them a meal or listen to their spouse. I don't know. That's a part of what it means to be living a Christian, is every day recognize that these opportunities for loving your neighbor are always there. But that's the gift that I have. That's where we're at. One final thing on that is be present for these people. Don't pretend to give answers that you can't give. One of the questions that I, as a pastor, often get asked is the great overarching question, why? Why is this happening to me? Why am I so despairing of my life? Why can I not find joy? Why? I don't know. That's an okay answer. That may be the only answer that you can give at a given time. But you're saying that frees you to not act like you've got all the answers all the time, which is, again, really liberating, because then you can actually help them in the ways that God has given you to help instead of pretending to be God, because I guarantee you will be much less effective if you're trying to be God. Can we agree on that one? All right. In 2013, there was a study done of the role of mental illness in the church. And in this study, it was done by a group called Lifeway Research. All kinds of stuff, I would urge you to look it up. One of the things that they asked was, if I had a mental health issue, I believe most churches would welcome me. So this is the question. And I think that the response that they found was remarkable. This is just a couple years ago here in America. Of those who never attended worship services, 55% believed that the churches would welcome them and would help them with whatever their malady was. Okay? 55% of people that don't go to church believe that churches are a place where they could find help. That's good, right? It's good. Of the people who attended worship services about once a week, 20%. So if you actually go to church, you are less likely to think the people around you are going to help you. I'll have to think on that. I would suggest part of the reason for that is because we come to believe that if I'm going to church, that must mean that I must have all of the great answers to all of these magical questions. Get over yourself. You don't have those answers. And that's better that way. Number three, work with those who care for the sick and in need and not against them. These people who are out there, whether they're Christians or not, whether they go to church or not, doesn't matter. They are there in order to help people who are sick and in need. They're not your enemy. Work with them. Very often, when you talk with medical professionals, I go in as a pastor, they are, first of all, almost universally thankful that I'm there, and even if I don't have any great answers, that I'm simply showing up. And they're equally thankful that I'm not trying to do their job, that I'm not trying to answer these problems, these questions that I can't answer. being there for them and seeing them as allies and not enemies can go a long, long way. We'll have to take that up more another time. Finally, hold up the final hope of the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. That is really our hope. I mean, that's the theology of the cross. That's the great last day. That is the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. That recognition that no matter what the problem is here and now that's going on, that God in his mercy will restore all these things. That must be continually held up. That is kind of to wrap, bring back around, that's the gospel. And to recognize that in the midst of our suffering, that God is in the midst of that suffering with us, and that he will carry us through the valley of the shadow of death. That's it, people. That's why we're Christians in the first place. That is true, whether the person is dealing with the proverbial broken leg or depression or whatever the malady may be. Jeff tells me I'm about out of time, so I have to wrap it up. Let me give you the Michael Horton quotation that I alluded to earlier. On one hand, a naturalistic perspective reduces human beings to a mass of physiochemical accidents. On the other hand, a hyper-supranaturalistic reaction, I just love that term, is to treat physiochemical problems simply as spiritual maladies. Good theology is not enough, but bad theology kills, literally, physically, and spiritually. As you can tell, I lived back to the pulpit. I didn't take my life, thanks to a faithful pastor, a faithful wife, a faithful counselor, and many who loved me. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about depression or cancer, broken families, divorce, doubt, or any great shame and vice. God is merciful and will be with you no matter what it is that you go through. This gospel frees us to give what God can give and to love and to be present with those who are suffering. That's what we as Lutherans have to give to the world. Thank you very much.
That's Pastor Todd Peppercorn's presentation, Making the Case for a Lutheran View of Depression, from the 2017 Summer Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We have a great speaking lineup for the 2018 Making the Case Conference. You can meet and hear Hank Hanegraaff, Hans Feeney, Will Wheaton, Scott Klusendorf, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, and Angus Manouge. Learn more about the premier conference for Christian laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, at issuesetc.org. Making the Case is Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. In the second hour of the program on this Monday, Thursday, Dr. Peter Scare will join us. We're going to have a conversation about some apparent contradictions in the Bible on the crucifixion and death of Jesus, namely that inscription over Jesus' head. What did it really say? There seems to be four different versions, slightly different versions, recorded in the four Gospels. Did both or only one of the thieves crucified alongside Jesus revile him? We know of the famous conversion of the one thief, but did he begin by calling down curses on Jesus? And the big one is the date of Jesus' death. When did it actually occur? We'll need to get into all of those contradictions on the other side of the break and discover how they are not real but only apparent contradictions with Dr. Peter Scare on this Monday, Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstatt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstatt.org.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
How was school today, kids?
Crazy. Hector's cherry tear got hit by a stone, and his eyes fell out into the dust before him there at his feet.
Sounds like Patroclus was being hot-tempered, rude, and quarrelsome again.
He always is. Dad, what's for supper?
I don't know yet. Supper is such a problem.
If it's a problem, you can use the scientific method to figure it out.
Problem? We want supper. Hypothesis? I think Dad will make tacos.
Actually, I was thinking about spaghetti.
Tacos or spaghetti?
False dichotomy.
Is this the after-school conversation of your dreams? Registration is now open for the 2018-19 school year at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, the only classical Lutheran school in the St. Louis area.
Hey, Dad, how did my violin practice sound?
Kiddo, it sounded epic.
Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. School.stpaulhamel.org.